Hey, y'all. You're listening to Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. We do this for you weeknights at 7. It's live financial talk radio. So if we could be of some help to you or you'd like some help, let us know.
2 days until your first pop-up event. For the guys hearing about it for the first time, what is this pop-up event?
It's all a pop-up event. We popped it up. I decided last week, I said, I want to do some of these client-oriented events, and I think it's good for the public to understand what we do, because I think it's about strategies going forward. You know, we used to do that term review. We don't like it. Well, it's kind of review, but it's about what are you going doing forward? Is it just going to be the same thing? And we're always working to get better. So there's three areas we're increasing. One is our portal, the GPS website, the Guided Planning System website portal, where you can access information about your accounts, where you can keep other data, digital vault, a lot of resources. We are upgrading that. And so we want to talk about that. Taxes are the theme going forward. One of the things we started doing earlier this year is do a tax analysis. So we want to talk more about that. I don't think everybody's taken advantage of that. And it's something we revisit every year with clients. And we're adding models for tax efficiency and generating tax-free returns as well. So I think that's really important. And we're wanting to share those models that we're adding to the investment strategies that we have. And number three is I think everybody needs to have a tactical element to their investments. And we have that. And that's also means we have basically a plan for the black swan event. Like last March when the market tanked really bad. Well, we tweak the accounts. And when it's time for or momentum shifts, the money's going to follow where the momentum is. What this does is give you a higher probability of success long term. That's what we're always striving for, is to make more, to keep more. So the two parts of that, yeah, you like great returns, but you know, it's the market. It takes it back once in a while. Well, let's not let it take so much back. So we're doing two of those events on Thursday. 1:30 is one and 5:30 is the other. It'll be under an hour, so you're not going to be there a while. We'll serve some wine and sodas and so forth and some snacks.
All right, sign up for that event. Call Gregory at his office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. Jerry in Mandeville, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Jerry?
Hi, I have a question for regarding RMDs for the year of 21.
Okay.
And this is if the husband and wife are 75 years old and they file jointly. In 2021, the husband's RMD withdrawal should be $8,000, and he has withdrawn $12,000. The wife's RMD is $4,000. And she has withdrawn zero. Can the husband's $4,000 excess withdrawal be applied to the zero withdrawal by the wife to avoid an underpayment penalty?
The answer is no, because that is a separate account. IRAs are not joint accounts, and his RMD, and even if he took a whole lot more from it, you still have to take the minimum distribution from your account.
Okay, that's what I needed to know.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry I couldn't give you better news on that, but you do want
well,
the truth.
Thank you anyway.
Because it's expensive if you don't take what you're supposed to.
Right.
Well,
yes.
Thanks for trusting us, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Have a great evening.
All right. That's almost a record on this show. That was a minute and 30 seconds from when we said hello to when she hung up. So that was with the hellos and with the thanks for callings, and you solved that in about a minute.
Yeah, I appreciate a softball occasionally, but that was easy. And they're separate accounts, considered separate accounts. And it's a male and female, but it's two different humans owning those accounts. It's not joint. So the rules are separate for each.
Now, if one person has a bunch of accounts, then it's an aggregate.
It is an aggregate of all of the accounts. But in that case, you know, they could have IRAs, 401k, multiple IRAs, different firms. They could have some IRA annuities. But when they total that together, it's an aggregate of all the accounts. Now, it doesn't matter which account they take it from, just so long as they take it. And that'd be the same for the spouse. Aggregate of all the accounts, doesn't matter which account it comes out of, so long as it comes out of the IRA overall.
Well, I like the way Jerry's thinking. Maybe they can not withdraw more than they have to out of her accounts, but okay.
You know, and that's sometimes where we look at what's the strategy of those distributions. You know, where is best suited to take it from? And that's where you would look at. It's not just, oh, let's pick this account. Well, we want to look at what that strategy is, the performance of accounts. One simple way to do that, what's the lowest yielding of the accounts, is something to think about also. Or it might be this account doesn't have much left in it. Let's go ahead and take it from that account. Could be as simple as that also.
Well, it's always good to ask, because what percentage of people getting up in that age know that they changed the rules on required minimum distributions just a couple of years ago? You know, it's always, you never know if you're not caught up on the rules.
Yeah, but those that are already taking it, it didn't do have any change for them. It's just those that were due to start were deferred to age 72. Now, what's coming in the near future is the tables are going to be adjusted slightly to reduce the impact. So something you and I were talking about a couple weeks ago regarding RMDs, such as somebody 101. You know, those, when you get over 100, those RMDs are a big portion of the account.
Right.
So it, you know, the tweak is probably going to give it a little more time. Not much, but a little bit more.
And if the rules do change, just keep listening to the show. Gregory will tell you about it. Or that's something you might have to cover in a pop-up event going on in the future, another big legislative change to people's accounts. That might register a pop-up event coming up. And if you're wondering why we're talking about that, he's got two coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, call the office regarding the pop-up events if you have any questions. We've sent a couple emails out to clients, so we're going to have some people there. Be interesting. And this kind of test event, see how this goes before we do the major rollout.
And you get to meet Gregory Ricks?
Yes.
You're going to be at both of them?
And I will be speaking at both of them, not doing the whole presentation, but part of it, which I think is fair.
Pretty cool. Nice little social event, it sounds.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing our friends.
All right. We're going to be talking about inflation coming up, but I just like the turn of phrase you did on a show maybe about a month ago, where you were just throwing some general warnings out there. Inflation is coming to an account near you. Now, you said that just at the end of the summer. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is speaking to Congress in a couple days, and he gave basically a transcript of his remarks that he's going to say. So we know 2 days in advance what he's going to say, so this is all theater. But he's going to basically admit that this transitory inflation that they've been promising is just transitory. It's not really going to be that transitory after all.
And if you're listening to Winning at Life Radio, you've been hearing us say that for a while, that this is not going to be transitory, or it's going to impact for a longer period of time. You know, you could have the inflation dial back some, but part of that is how far behind inventories are and how long it's going to take to catch up. And in the macro alert by Scott Minard, one of the Guggenheim partners and chief investment officer, in his piece I shared with you recently, and I know this kind of looks like past news, but this is relevant for our inflation talk. Federal Reserve has been trying to clear the runway for tapering announcement, but recent economic data thrown a wrench into the plan. I would have said monkey wrench into the plan. August payroll gains came in nearly 500,000 less than expected amid the Delta-driven COVID surge. September payrolls could also disappoint, given that restaurant activity, the primary driver of recent growth, has shown continued weakness in August. The Delta effects also evident in August CPI data. The categories we've highlighted as transitory were again the main story, but this time to the downside. Travel sectors saw large price declines amid Delta surge, with airline, hotels, car rentals prices declining. Used car prices also fell. One of the things that we've been seeing lately also, but this is an impact across everything. Let me get this pulled up here to give you a grit number. Now my slow, here we go. Another click through. But I think this is something that's not going to help the administration or the Federal Reserve, and that's crude oil prices. Crude oil futures last shown, let me just click an update, make sure I'm right here, as it resets. Okay, $74.55, Brent crude $77.68. And you know what the expectation is? Crude to continue up. Nothing gets where it needs to be without some fossil fuel helping it along. Yeah, there's some Teslas out there, but not enough to make a difference there. So you're going to see that impact everything. A little bit further, because you know we haven't talked about these numbers lately, but when you're looking at that, we go back to, let me just pull up a one-year chart. We go to 1 year ago, we're at $38.72. We go back to January, we're at $48.52. Well, we're probably going to see $79 here soon. I know it's meandering, but it's meandering upward there. So I think this is a tremendous impact. This is better than 35% increase this year, this past year. It's significant. That number percentage is probably low. On that case, it's probably over 40%, but I think it's something to keep in mind when we're talking about inflation there. And I think we'll probably see tapering conversation more likely to be more focused in November's early November Fed meeting there in regarding to that. Yeah, Fed Chairman's going to talk about that, and he can't completely come out and say, yeah, it's short term, it's not that much, and it's transitory. Well, it's not ceasing. Where some things have dialed back because of conditions, but like car prices are up significantly. And why is that? Shortages caused by what? COVID. And these things are not correcting themselves in short term. Some stuff I've ordered furniture wise is 6 months out. Nobody's called up, said, yeah, we made an error, to be there in 2 weeks. Nobody's catching up on that stuff.
All right. If you got a question on this, 504-260-0995, or give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. Now, some of this is to be expected because I do have audio of Jerome Powell over the last few meetings telling us he's going to let inflation go far above the target. He's going to let it run hot, probably longer than you expect. And so I think for some people, they find a little bit of solace in the, well, he did say he was just going to sit back and do nothing while inflation runs hot. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy situation here. It's not pretty, but he did say he was going to let it run.
Well, that's some of the concerns that we've seen on the markets today as well from a number standpoint. Let's see, we were off on the Dow, 569 points, 1.6% change there. So you're looking at NASDAQ was off 2.8, the S&P 500, 2.04. And you've got a couple things going on. Inflation's a little bit of a concern. And the other is what's going on in Washington, D.C., debt ceiling. You know, they're just not. And then you had a prominent banker out there in the country kind of say, yeah, this would be really bad if we have a default. But they say that every time, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Hadn't defaulted yet.
Yeah. So once again, it comes up and they'll get their heads together and get this going forward.
Well, you got a little stack of comment cards in front of you from previous events. And one of the common questions, one of the concerns people have, because it's not like a comment card, it says, what questions, concerns do you have? People are concerned about inflation. That shows up all the time in the comment cards. what's sort of the general approach you have to those people who are already have a bunch of money invested, getting close to retirement, and worried about inflation?
Well, see, inflation eats away at the buying power of your money. So one of the key things is you have your money working. Now, some points you're not going to be able to keep up with it, you know, so because of being, say, conservative, you may not keep up with, say, 6% inflation this year. And then once again, what is inflation going to be next year? That's an unknown, because if it does show up to be somewhat transitory and dial back, it might not be off the scale next year. But I would expect the next few years, inflation's going to be more than what we experienced as the average the past 10 years. So how do you work to keep up? You've got to have your money working. You've got to have the right blend of assets out there. The CD world is not getting it done that way. It doesn't mean you have to take much or a lot of risk. Might take a little bit, but you've got to work to get a better balance of return to kind of keep pace. And, you know, one of the things on my blog, the news blog, we talked about the article up there from Motley Fool that we shared with you regarding Social Security there. In April, the National Pollster Gallup asked a group of non-retirees what extent they expect to rely on Social Security income when they hang up their working gloves. All-time record, 38% expect it to be a major source, with 85% of respondents expected to lean on the program in some capacity to make ends meet. So with the program playing a clear role in the financial well-being of our country's elderly and disabled, there's no announcement that's more important than the annual cost of living adjustment that we're just going to see here in just a couple weeks. But since 1975, Social Security's COLA has been tethered to the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners, clerical workers, or CPIW.
Just a silly acronym, CPIW.
Yeah, and we're so thankful for those. This index tracks predetermined baskets of goods and services. It has 8 major spending categories with dozens upon dozens of subcategories. Each category has its own relative weighting. It sounds like a market index here. Ultimately, the CPIW can be boiled down to a neat and tidy single number that can be compared to previous year's reading to determine if prices are rising. In the case of Social Security, only with the CPIW readings from the third quarter through September are used to determine the following year's COLA. While the other 9 months can help identify trends, they have no bearing on the announced COLA. If the average CPIW reading from third quarter in current year is higher than the average from the CPIW reading from third quarter previous year, beneficiaries will receive a raise commensurate with a percentage increase rounded to the nearest 0.1%. For 2022, nearly all current Social Security beneficiaries looking at their largest increase benefit in history. Based on the CPIW data for July and August, the Senior Citizens League said the upcoming year we're likely to see a 6% increase coming in January of this coming year. The average retired worker who expects to be receiving $1,568 a month by December, a 6% COLA would translate to a $94 monthly bump in payout. The last time Social Security recipients saw a COLA of 6% or higher was all the way back in 1983, when COLA passed along for that year was 7.4%. So unless you were netting a payout from Social Security 39 years ago, this would be the biggest raise ever for 65 million plus recipients. The grim reality is that most of the program's recipients aren't going to see that much or any of this increase, as higher prices for a variety of goods and services eat up that payout boost. For example, Congressional Research Service estimates Medicare Part B monthly premiums will rise from $148.50 in 2021 to $157.70 per month next year. This equates to a 6.2% increase, which is even higher than the predicted COLA. Between 2000 and 2020, the average annual Medicare Part B premium hike has been 5.9% compared with an average Social Security COLA of 2.2% over the same time. You know what? That ain't even fair, is it?
It's a raw deal, I think, yeah.
And that's kind of what I've always said. When I factor in Social Security benefits when we're doing income planning, I really don't factor in hikes because it's essentially the same spendable dollars. You could show the increases and all of a sudden look, oh, we're getting much more income, but you're not really, because it's always basically taken by the Medicare premium. So where I will show increase of income from assets, I never really build in the Social Security, because it's not like you, oh, cool, in five more years, we have some money for a trip based on the monthly increase.
Right.
So I personally don't like seeing it that way. And I think it gives you a false impression of what you're netting there, for example. So according to Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation data from August, a number of other key categories of consumer price index for all urban consumers show signs of higher inflation. The CPIU is a similar financial measure to the CPIW. In August, the CPIU showed shelter inflation up 2.8% over trailing 12 months, food inflation up 3.7%, and electricity, get this, 5.2%. We're trying to shift to a world where we're dependent upon electricity solely, and it's up 5.2%. And used car inflation may not be affecting Social Security's retired workers, but they all need a roof over their heads, food on their tables, and electricity to make things go. I think it's enough bad news right there from that standpoint.
Yeah, and that's what happens most of these years, is you're going to get a little bit of a bump, and then some of it's going to be eaten up by the increase in your Medicare premiums. Some of it's going to get eaten up by inflation at
the
store.
Well, let me hold on. Just wait a second. Let's talk some more. And this actually supporting my theory on why not to factor, well, why don't you factor in increases in Social Security? It averages, you know, a couple percent a year. Well, here's why. According to a report from TSCL, the purchasing power of Social Security income has declined by, get this, 30% since 2000. In other words, what $100 in Social Security benefits could buy in 2000 can now only purchase about $70 worth of goods and services. So almost going this way on income planning, maybe we ought to be reducing the Social Security benefit a couple percent each year, because the buying power is going away. So I saw that and I said, well, heck, that kind of supports how I think about that. Okay, bad excuses to turn on Social Security early. How about this to start with? Your benefit will be permanently reduced. It's a big obvious reason you wouldn't want to turn on Social Security early, but that's just scratching the surface. It's about 8% a year to defer. Well, technically, before your FRA, it's neighborhood of a little more than 6% roll, 6.75% roll up. After FRA, it's a simple interest increase of about 8%. And once again, cost of living adjustments aren't going to really be big. So if you're turning it on, you're really locking in that lower rate if you can defer. If you're totally dependent upon it and what's going on to make things work, I get that. But if you can defer to your FRA, you're going to be in better shape longer. Also, the other talk about early Social Security income clawback. So it's hard to justify turning on Social Security early if you're still going to be working and bringing in significant income. You know, for this year, for every $2 above the threshold, which is $18,960, for every $2 over that, they're going to take back a dollar. So if you think you're going back to work and what you've got a year to undo it and reverse the turn-on decision, but that's expensive error making too much money. And number three, I want to start getting checks while I can because Social Security is going away. I think that's a horrible way to look at it. I know they're underfunded, but gosh, we can toss around a few trillion dollars here and there. They're not going to let Social Security benefits get dialed back. It definitely is not going away. Most of the revenues are dependent upon payroll taxes. And I don't think they've raised it on either side in somewhere over 30 years now. So that is coming. And we're in a climate where this administration isn't bashful about saying, yeah, we're raising taxes. He won office based upon campaigning. Yeah, we're going to raise taxes. So I don't know that that would hurt them roll back. So that was a couple thoughts about those were three bad excuses to turn it on early. Well, that's why you have to be growing money. If you just letting it set there and it's going to eat away, it's being eaten away no matter what we do. And this is not the hyperinflation that we're going to see somewhere down the road. And the thinking is because of all the debt, and it is accelerating faster than what I told you several years ago it was going to get to it at 5, 10, 30-year, and 50-year marks. And it's accelerating so much faster. But, you know, I also wonder, in my advice, the country's not going to default, but at some point we hyperinflate to make the numbers work. But it's almost like they don't care. It's kind of like we always thought interest rates would go up, but interest rates never go up. So am I wrong? And debt, ridiculous debt, spending money like you stole it from somebody else, and it's okay for the government to do that? I know we don't have time to debate it, but it kind of makes you second guess. Well, maybe we don't have to hyperinflate. Maybe interest rates don't need to ever go up.
Yeah,
it's just a thought.
I think the time scale still exists. It's just been extended because we've gotten really, really good at kicking the can. There's a skill of kicking cans in modern America.
It's like dead cap space in football.
Yeah. Can you still make a deal with all
that? Because if the Saints have a winning season, they've like figured out a way to beat it.
If there's a kicking cans in the Olympics, the USA would get at least silver. All right, if you have a question for Gregory, I advise you to call him at his office at this point because the show's about over. Go to gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.